always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
He's going like Will Hardy in that viral sideline timeout, like every timeout on DeAndre Ayton at this point.
Yeah.
Like, I'm tired of calling these timeouts. Just try.
Right. Like, well, it's like I said earlier in the year, it's like how many times do you recall DeAndre Ayton picking up a flagrant foul? Like, I feel like every center has to, over the course of every starting center has to, over the course of a season, pick up like five flagrant fouls, you know,
sometimes on the Wizards mascot, you know.
Well,
you gotta let them know, don't come in my airspace, gee whiz.
but like, you know, every so often, like a starting caliber center needs to, if somebody's driving to the basket, just like Andrew Bynum, JJ Barea.
You would think, you know, even some point inadvertently on a bad angle, you would get someone with a flagrant, you know, with how many shots you're supposed to be contesting. You know, it's like maybe you're not a dirty player, but you cast someone at the wrong angle with your elbow. You know, they took off of one foot, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but no, it doesn't happen, because if a guard jumps into Ayton, he like falls backwards, you know, like it's just and I can totally understand. It, you know, JJ being at the point here where he's like, you know what, man, just go sit over there.
Yeah.
And I also thought it was kind of telling that he went to Maxey, the guy that he played with, the guy he actually trusts, you know, and I
the guy who will commit a flagrant foul if sometimes on purpose.
Good.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, I actually think that Maxey has a chance of being a part of the rotation moving forward. You know, if the Lakers are going to commit to being bigger, it's basically between him and Timmy who will get that shot at it. And the Lakers only have one roster spot. So if they decide to bring in a buyout player, that means that, you know, they wouldn't have the roster space to convert Timmy. So like JJ kind of sort of has an organizational question to answer here, which I think is going to be really kind of interesting. But yeah, so the Lakers trade Gabe Vincent and a second rounder to the Atlanta Hawks. They get Luke Kennard, who is actually one of the best shooters in the sport. You know, movement shooter, relocation shooter, spot up shooter. This dude is just a dead eye shooter, which means he's going to be shooting 23% in his first five games as a Laker from 3-point range.
Well, I also think that the thing here is, in my current job as somebody who oversees the entire SB Nation NBA network, I am more aware of the fan climate in other fan bases than
Really quickly, Harrison, there's a really good comment here from Marshawn about Ayton. It says every shot Ayton takes is falling away from the rim. Doesn't matter how close to the rim he is or how small the guy in front of him he may be. Everything is falling away from the rim. He's soft as baby shit. I was thinking about this. I think Ayton is the first player I've ever seen take a fallaway dunk.
Well, I mean, you also use the F word there. So now Raj can't listen to any more of this episode. And so.
It's true. Sorry, Raj. All right. So go ahead though. Like going back to your role as manager over many, you know, many, many sites and many, many writers and all that stuff.
So I'm very aware. I'm more aware than I would have been when I was covering the Lakers of like fan climate around other teams and, you know, like their pet peeves with which player is there, Gabe Vincent, who is constantly going viral because they are pissed off at this guy. And a theme that I have noticed is that is Luke Kennard for almost every single team that he plays for. His fan base is invariably driven insane by him, because for a guy that is as good of a shooter as you were talking about, he legitimately is. I think Billy Mack gave some stat on the broadcast on like the threes that NBA.com classifies as wide open. He's like over 50%. Like, he is lights out electric shooter. He is a little bit of an efficiency merchant, where like if he doesn't think that it's a good shot, he is absolutely not going to take it. You know, he is not going to go gunning. Like, it's the opposite problem of like it's the opposite problem of like somebody like a Marcus Smart. You know, the knock on him is like, maybe a little less willing sometimes. And like Luke Kennard, it's like, hey, you know, you're one of the best shooters in the league. Can you let it fly? Even if there's a guy sort of closing out at you hard, and just trust that you're going to get it over him. And, you know, during his career, the answer to that has been no, I will not do that. And so I am, you know, he should be as open as he's ever been with LeBron, Austin, and, you know, Luka at some point. But I would say Lakers fans, like, don't get too excited yet, because this feels like a guy, if I know my friends, you're going to end up hating him at some point, probably. I'm sorry.
All I ask of Kennard is to make the momentum three. Make the three that forces the other team to call timeout, you know, turn a 9-point lead into a 12-point lead, turn a 15-point lead into an 18-point lead. Like, just make the back-breaking three that, like, the fans of the team that you're playing against is like, ah, no, not, you know, like the ball rotates over, Kennard's wide open, and you're like, ah, God, all right, call timeout. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's all I'm asking, because how often was that Gabe where the ball rotates over, and Gabe is shooting there, and it, rather than the other team's fans saying, ah, oh, God, all right, call timeout, it's us going like, please, please, Gabe, make this the one time clank, you know? And that's all I ask of him. I think Tops, Kennard, I honestly think, Harrison, I honestly think the bigger factor in this is not having Gabe. Like, Kennard can play his like 10 to 12 or maybe 10 to 15 minutes a game, you know, and whatever happens in those 10 to 15 minutes a game, cool. But unless he becomes like the new Gabe and he plays way too much because he can shoot. But just the amount of responsibility and leeway that Gabe had in that rotation, I think actually made the Lakers a worse basketball team. And removing that factor away from the rotation is something that I think is genuinely going to really help. And like, whatever you get in terms of production from Kennard is I think a huge plus, you know, so long as it doesn't come at such a crazy cost that, and what's actually interesting is that he's going to be coming off of the bench and he'll be playing in units with Marcus Smart and with Jake LaRavia and with Jared Vanderbilt, you know, and with Jackson Hayes. So he'll actually be kind of protected defensively. I think all he needs to do is just go out there and like be a threat, knock down the threes that you can, and then get out of the game before the defense becomes too big of an issue. But just like, honestly, his jersey could say not Gabe Vincent, and I'd be perfectly fine with it.
He's also, you know, I don't want to overreact because he, like, this is going to be a, you know, 10 to 15 minutes a game role player max, probably. And so, you know, as a change of pace shooter, I'm not mad about the move. Like, I think, you know, using a second is whatever. We can't even say, like, with the Lakers scouting department, you don't really want to waste a second because the Lakers don't have a scouting department. So I don't know how good or bad this one is going to be on second rounders whenever they do hire some. And so, you know, this is not a big deal. I'm just, you know, I have my antennas up for Kennard. Like, I'm a little worried, but I do think that there is something to the idea of taking away the coach's security blanket a little bit. We saw this with Byron Scott, obviously much worse coach than JJ Redick, you know, during his Lakers tenure. Yeah. But, you know, when the Lakers basically told him, they're like, hey, like, I forget if Ronnie Price got hurt or if Mitch Kupchak just like, you know, like shot him into the sun or like what they did to get Ronnie Price out of the rotation. But as soon as that happened, it was like, oh, Jordan Clarkson's able to play more and have some freedom. And Jeremy Lin is playing a little bit more free out there and is moving the ball and that kind of stuff. And like, I just think that, you know, if you take away a guy, it's sort of like when the Lakers, you know, when Torian Prince would miss games. It's like, hey, they actually look a lot better when they're bigger and, you know, they're playing these lineups that are not.
And it wasn't like because Torian was some terrible player. He was just like completely out-assed.
Yeah.
Like his responsibilities were just like way beyond what he could possibly provide. And it made him a much worse.
And I think that was the thing for Gabe Vincent too. There were times this year where the plan was let Gabe Vincent cook, and he can't do that. You know, he was going to burn the kitchen down every single time. And, you know, just because he was going to burn it down like slightly less than the person behind him, you know, he was still sort of set up for failure.
Right. I think maybe even the bigger story than the move that the Lakers actually made were the moves that they didn't. And the move in the NBA that didn't happen right was Giannis Antetokounmpo not being traded by the Bucks. And Harrison, I'm completely out on Giannis. I'm good.
This is just because of the interviews and the tweets, or like what
tweet that he sent after the deadline was so fucking lame. Like, it was just so lame. Like, the whole, like, I'm just telling everybody, I'm not leaving. And it's like, you could have sent that 4 days ago.
And well, you could have sent that 4 months ago.
Yeah, like, you could send it, like, nobody believes you either, by the way. You know? Yeah. Like this is the other thing, is that every time Giannis talks about his commitment to the city of Milwaukee or to the Bucks organization, all that stuff, there's always this big-ass but.
Yeah, it's always, you like, I love this city, and I grew up here. And, like, I nothing against the city. And then he doesn't say, like, I want to stay, though, you know?
Right. And it's like, look, man, I am rooting for you to commit to Milwaukee. This is the funny thing, is that Milwaukee fans, because I sent out a tweet saying that, like, Giannis was really lame there. And
Oh, they were mad at me, too. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and I said that, like, he and the Bucks are that couple that stopped getting invited to stuff because they break up. Like, very publicly, every time everybody is like, and it's like, guess what, everybody, we're back together. And by the time the fourth or fifth time, we're like, guess what, everybody, we're back together. Everybody's like, oh, cool. You know, like, that's where I'm at right now. It's like, yeah, I'm happy for the city of Milwaukee that you guys get to keep your star, who, by the way, like, would not run pick and rolls with Damian Lillard and made that team worse as a result of it. Like, I am still skeptical, by the way, of whether or not he and Luka would work, because he's all focused on this point forward thing, you know? And so, like, I'm at the stage here where he's like, all right, I'm not going anywhere. And it was the perfect amount of lame that, like, set me off.
Just, well, he also,
like, sign your extension, remain a Milwaukee Buck for the rest of your career, retire there, be beloved. Don't leave, like, don't, and also, Lakers, give up on it. Like, have you seen poor Warriors fans' timelines today?
No, actually, that reminds me, I should go look, though. That's probably hilarious. Oh my
god, there's a report, I think, from either Shams or Ramona, that, like, the Warriors were in on Jaren Jackson Jr. earlier in the week, but then they got like. They got like a small sniff that maybe, just maybe, Giannis would be available, and they like moved off of the Triple J negotiations, and like all Warriors fans are like, Jaren would have been fine. That would have been great. Do that, you know? And that's where I'm at here with like this Giannis stuff, where it's like, and look, like, I'm not saying Giannis is their only option, and although I do think they've put a lot of eggs into the Giannis basket, right, with basically two straight transaction windows that they've pretty much sat out, you know, especially from a trade standpoint. And yet, like, that would make one think that they would be pot committed to Giannis. I'm begging you, Rob. I am begging the rest of the Lakers organization. Do not do this. Do not, because the thing is, Giannis has like the day that he has to sign his extension is actually in like October. So the Lakers could theoretically sit out all of this offseason. You know what I'm saying? They could sit out all of this offseason hoping that he doesn't sign that extension. And then once he doesn't sign his extension, his price drops a bunch. But while you're sitting out, you're like, you're missing out on actually building a roster around Luka. And I'm at the point here, and tonight I think was a great example of it, because Austin is so cheap, because LeBron is still LeBron, because you were able to get Marcus Smart at a discount and Jake LaRavia at a discount and all these things, because like the Lakers won the game tonight through depth. And I think this was the basketball gods, like basically telling the Lakers, depth is the answer. It's not the,
and they're
the,
not even like, that deep.
They aren't, but they were deep enough. And, yeah. And like, that's where I'm watching this game play out. And I'm watching the way that this thing has gone for Warriors fans with Giannis. And I'm at the point here where like, I don't know about his fit with Luka. I don't know how he's going to age. I think he's corny as shit. I'm good. Move on.
I also did you see the other post where he's like, I'm not a pencil, but still drawing all the attention. And it's like, you are being Mia, a high school. It's okay. She already logged out, I'm sure. not even going to know that she got a shout out. I guess we'll find out if I get a text. Yeah. But you know, it just, to me, the thing that I was on Uniball this morning and I was talking about this, and then I made the comp on Twitter too, was like, this feels very Dwight Mayer to me at this point. Yeah. Like I watched the Dwight Mayer live in real time as somebody who was, you know, a much younger Laker fan at the time, and saying like, you know, oh man, the Lakers get Dwight, it's going to be over for the league. That's the best center in the league, you know, da, 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 da. And then it's like all the sort of red flags that were causing people to Orlando to maybe be a little wary of him. And, you know, that we ended up defining the rest of his career, essentially in retrospect, or the rest of his prime, were sort of like blaring at us. And we were like, it's star. You go get the star and you figure it out later and whatever. And it's like, without the sense of like, Kobe's going to hate this guy. And you know, that all of those sort of complicating factors. And like, I don't know, Luka, Giannis, like I have no idea how their personalities would or wouldn't mesh, but I do think that a lot of the stuff that you mentioned in terms of his, like, it is the same thing that I've been bringing up when I'm saying, like, if you're the Lakers, like, go get it on the aftermath of this trade. Try to get your Jrue Holiday in the aftermath of this trade. Don't spend all this time just waiting on Giannis. Use the cap space to try and fill out your depth and get role players, because, again, like, if he wasn't going to run pick and rolls with Dame, he's gonna set solid screens for Luka. I just have to trust that that's going to happen. Like, I have to trust that Rob Pelinka has, like, thought to ask that and isn't just like, oh, two All-Stars, hooray. Plus Austin almost made the All-Star team. That's three All-Stars. Now we have our Brooklyn Nets.
I have it on pretty good authority. That is actually how he thinks of things, but
yeah. But yeah. Well, so I just, you know, yeah, I'm not sold on the fit, and honestly, it would be the nicest basketball story if he just finished that. Like, go be Milwaukee's Kobe, yes. You know, like, they love you there already. You already won a title. Like, you don't have to do this.
And this is the funny thing. Milwaukee fans are like angry at me, when really I am rooting for you guys. I am rooting for Milwaukee fans. Keep your star.
Yeah, keep him, and like, keep him from talking.
Yes, just stop. And now I also think there is something to be said about this, because this was a, I don't want to sound like I'm throwing too much dirt on ESPN for this, but there were certainly enough people that I spoke to around the league today who were like, was this ever real? Or did ESPN think they were going into a quiet deadline and did Shams drum up some stuff, you know? Because I thought it was really weird, Harrison, that we got that report from earlier this summer, that, you know, from Shams, that the Knicks were the only team on Giannis's list. By the way, we never got a Giannis actual list, right? Like, I thought that was a little interesting, but
well, he never made a list, Anthony. He never wanted to leave Milwaukee. Okay.
Oh yeah.
It was just it was his agent going rogue.
Yeah. Him and Dalton. You know, it happens sometimes.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, like,
I wish Dalton had posted the I'm not fucking leaving clip actually after the trade. Like, see, that would have been funny if he had done that. Like, that's funny. Giannis, like, it's kind of corny. Dalton, it would have been very funny.
That would have been really funny. That would have been amazing. but yeah, like, I just wish there was a world where Dalton was that clever. You probably be better basketball.
There's no chance he stuck it out through all of Wolf of Wall Street if he even started it. You know, he's like, there are no wolves in this movie.
Is it a wall or a street? But so like, yeah, like the whole like Giannis thing, Shams taught, you know, reports earlier in the summer that apparently Giannis or his agent went to the box and was like, yeah, I'm open, or my client is open to a trade.
No, his client isn't. The agent is open to you trading his client, just all on his own.
And the only team that the agent's client was interested in was the New York Knicks, right? And they had this, apparently there was this exclusive negotiating window where the sides never came anywhere near even like close. Neither side thought that the other side was being real about it. And then over the course of all of this thing, at no point were the Knicks considered like a viable contender for Giannis, which I thought was really odd, right? Like, you go from exclusive negotiating window, Mikal becomes trade eligible in ways that he wasn't when you had that exclusive negotiating window. Now, all of a sudden, he is trade eligible, and you still like don't really take this entire scenario very seriously. Maybe they really, really believe in that core. Maybe they really, really believe in Cat. Maybe they just couldn't find a different home for Cat to open up enough picks to actually become a factor in these conversations. All viable explanations. But there's like an odd amount of noise about like, was this a Shams creation? And I don't know, man. Like, I'm not going to go so far as to say like I outright believe it, but I heard it from enough people that I trust. They were like, that I can't completely discount it.
That's sort of how it felt. But again, I don't think he created this out of thin air, but I do think that, you know, the amount that it was talked about was like, we need something for trade deadline week. Like, we need a saga, you know, it's like this kind of happened and maybe it's happening. And, you know, the Bucks are listening because the Bucks know that they're screwed, but like they don't really want to move him. You know, it's like, maybe if somebody comes in with some sort of godfather offer that didn't really seem to be available, then they'll do it because they understand that like where this is and that it's like probably over, but that, you know, they didn't really want to do that. And that there weren't a whole lot of, you know, it doesn't even seem like Giannis wanted to push for it that hard because he's, I guess, convinced that people are going to be mad at him in Milwaukee, where I think Bucks fans would just kind of be like, hey, thanks for the good years, man. And like, we appreciate the title. And, you know, we understand like our team tried to do everything it could and we're out of assets and this is the end of the road. And so if you want to win, you got to go somewhere else.
The funny thing is, with his reaction to not being traded today, I actually think now he can't ask out after this.
Oh, see, you know I mean? Overestimate the amount of shame that any superstar player has ever felt.
No, like, but because before, had he been traded today, or even if he wasn't traded today and he didn't like tweet out that, like that, you know, send that tweet that he sent, I think if like he doesn't do that, and if the understanding is basically like, look, we'll give it a go, Milwaukee wants to see what the market looks like after the season, I still think Bucks fans probably would have been like, yeah, we kind of understand that. Sucks. Don't want to see Giannis traded, but this sucks. But now, like, Milwaukee's probably going to make some other desperation move at the beginning of the summer, trying to convince Giannis to stay. Giannis is going to do that thing, kind of like with Portland, right? Like, Portland signed Jeremy Grant to that extension, and then Dame was like, I'm still good. And he asked out anyway. Like, I feel like that's how Bucks fans are now, where it's like, all right, don't get my hopes up. Like, just leave if you wanted to leave. But now you do the I'm back, I'm not going anywhere thing, and then you go right back to, well, I want to win a championship. And it's like, which is it, dude? You know, like, you can't continue to try to have it both ways here.
Was this all a like ruse not to drum up trade deadline coverage interest, but to drum up interest in Shams's appearance in the celebrity all-star game? Generate fake beef with his coach Giannis.
Shams should demand a trade.
Doc was already, you know, Doc, he's always got jokes. He was joking that Shams is on the trade block. He heard from Coach Giannis. So.
Oh, well, I mean, I wonder if Giannis was like, stay over there, dude.